Troll Scroll.
I took an arrow.
I used to be an adventurer like that.
Then I took an arrow.
I used to be an adventurer like you. Then I took an arrow in the knee.
Aloha, everybody. My name is Tom Powers, and joining me is Mr. Timmy LaPerriere. Hello, my good sir. How you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah. Gosh, let's see here. We were sort of in limbo the past 2.5-3 months with so many things. With the games we were playing, with Tor Talk, and now everyone knows why. It's because Troll Scroll is the future. The future of our project. Future of what we intend on investing so much time into. And I'm thrilled to be here. I mean, this game is coming out, Elder Scrolls Online, being developed by ZeniMax Online Studios, and it looks fantastic. But you know what? This is our introductory episode, so everyone out there listening, we aren't going to be really diving into that much content today. We are just going to give you this episode as a rundown on who Tim and myself are, the two personalities of this podcast that perhaps you'll maybe be listening to for quite some time. So, Tim, how about we just start with you, buddy? Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Where are you from? What are you majoring in? How old are you?
Okay. Well, I'm from Michigan. I guess you could say I'm majoring in communications. So basically what I want to end up doing is joining up with a community team at a video game company and sort of being on the community side of things and perhaps one day becoming a community manager myself. So I'm kind of going into the whole communications, PR, marketing kind of thing at school. Really enjoying it, you know. Been podcasting. Obviously, we did Tor Talk for, what was it? 2 years ago, just at the end of August. We've been doing that for 2 years now, so had a lot of experience there. Recently, I just turned 21, so, you know, doing that kind of thing. But I'm not a drunk, okay? And I don't drink really that much. I'm just, you know, just throwing that out there so nobody...
Living the dream.
I mean, I guess you could say living the dream. I don't really, I guess. So, yeah, that's just, I know it's not really, you know, too much to do with anything, but big Star Wars fan, you know, played Star Wars The Old Republic for, I don't know, since it launched and recently just stopped playing a couple weeks ago and ready to move on, bigger and better things. Elder Scrolls, you know, the Elder Scrolls Online is the next big thing in my opinion. And I've been playing Elder Scrolls for a while now. I started with Oblivion back in, when did it come out? 07, I think. Yeah, 07. So, I've been playing Elder Scrolls since then, and, you know, Skyrim, and so on and so forth. So, you know, big fan, looking forward to Elder Scrolls Online, because it's got RVR, so that's a good thing, right?
There you go, right? RVR. That's true PvP. This game is going to be awesome, but before we, you know, sort of talk about Elder Scrolls Online and our expectations, I think we deserve to give our community, our listeners, sort of a reason why we left Tor and why we left Tor Talk. I guess, Tim, you could feel free to just like jump in on this, but I guess the direction Star Wars The Old Republic is going is sort of nerving. Tim and I are both sort of, we're just very nerved negatively on what way they're going. They're going free to play this fall. Content is so sparsely added to the game where it's the game's boring because it's just repetitiveness.
Right. I really want to add real quick that, you know, free-to-play games aren't bad games. So, I mean, technically speaking, if you know, Elder Scrolls happens to be free-to-play at launch, not that we're going to hate it. It's just the way and the potential and the idea that was behind Tor originally from the developers kind of, you know, Tor straight away from what EA and what BioWare and I'm sure what LucasArts was kind of hoping for it. So, you know, they had this huge perfect plan. They promised a lot of cool things, and yet, you know, everything kind of turned for the worse back in February. I think it was around February when things started to go downhill from there. And it just, you know, it just spiraled out of control from there. And yeah, like you said, there's not much content coming out anymore. Endgame's extremely important. Extremely important. Yeah. That's why you play MMOs.
Yeah, you make a good point. Their business motto and their design expectations and subscriber numbers dramatically changed from what they were hoping for. And it's a shame. It's really a shame because the game has potential. But yeah, they originally wanted that game to be fully subbed, just like its competitors, World of Warcraft, whatever it may be. But I guess it didn't work out. So that's sort of our little conclusion. We'll stop talking about Star Wars: The Old Republic and Tor talk and why we left. We appreciate all of you who were fans and listeners the past 2 years. Tim and I just had total joy and passion in doing what we were doing with the podcast and tor-talk.com because you guys were there to encourage us and motivate us to produce editorial content, videos, whatever it may be. So thank you to all of you. So Tim, I guess Elder Scrolls Online, being developed by ZeniMax Online Studios, this is a brand new company that was opened up. And it seems like right now the purposes of that company is solely for making this game. And it looks awesome. It has RVR. And we all know that RVR, Rome versus Rome, is open world PvP that is taken to a new level. It's not just clashes between players. It's very objective based. There's keeps, outposts, you know, strategic points throughout the world that you explore that contribute to your realm's control over your server, your faction's control. Tim, I mean, you played Warhammer Online.
Yep.
I don't know, you didn't play Dark Age of Camelot, but the guy who is, you know, the Dark Age of Camelot guy, Mark Fuhrer, he is pretty much spearheading this project to take it the RVR route that Dark Age of Camelot did. And you and I played Warhammer Online. I tampered a little bit with Daok back in the day. But Warhammer Online, before they had their patch that revamped their RVR system, I believe it was patch 1.46, they did have really fun RVR, but it still wasn't Dark Age of Camelot RVR. Tim, let's talk about Daok RVR, man. What sort of turns you on to that?
Like I said, like you said, I haven't played Daok at all, and I've seen a couple videos and I've heard about it, but I mean, from what I gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to sound like a fool, but basically the idea of being able to control your siege weapons, okay, so like in Warhammer, one of the major problems I had with it was the fact that there was hotspots all over in front of the keeps, and that just looked kind of weird to me. You know, Warhammer wasn't really a story-driven MMO, okay? It wasn't like Tor. There didn't need to be an explanation for everything, but even still, you know, going up to siege a keep, there's just a random, you know, there's just a bunch of random hotspots all over. So that kind of, you know, that was kind of a kind of thing to me. And, you know, so I guess mobile siege weapons, okay? Different types of siege weapons, okay? So there was a video I was watching with the catapults, and, you know, catapults were launching flaming rocks, and there was another catapult that was launching three boulders at one time, and there was trebuchets, and, you know, there was bastillas, and, you know, so on and so forth. Okay, so stuff like that, you know, that's, I guess, a wider range of siege weapons, because to me, RVR is all about keeps. Okay, it's all about the siege of a keep. You know, it's about those big battles that you can have. And that's sort of, you know, the biggest, I guess you could say, turn on for me for RVR in The Elder Scrolls, because, you know, it seems like a lot of the team that worked on Dayak is working on The Elder Scrolls as well. And a lot of them, you know, kind of like, okay, here's what worked in Dayak. And I think even some of them probably worked on Warhammer, and they probably, you know, they've looked at Warhammer, I'm sure, and they've gone, okay, this is what worked, and this is what definitely didn't work in Warhammer. This is what we need to make sure works in The Elder Scrolls. And so they're taking a look at all that and kind of taking the best from both games and bringing it over to The Elder Scrolls. And I mean, they've got the experience with RVR, you know, so I have high expectations, full confidence in the Elder Scrolls team. Just because, you know, they're pros when it comes to RVR. They pretty much, you know, invented it. So, yeah.
Definitely. To it. We're going to be talking about RVR a boatload on this podcast because the game revolves around it. Pretty much the final end game for each faction's players is to gain control of the Imperial City. Where whoever is, what is it, Tim? If you have the most, basically a player who has the most, like, points, contribution points.
Right, contribution.
To the yeah. war effort gets crowned as the emperor of the city. And this is just going to be epic. I mean, three factions, first of all, that the whole spin on that type of gameplay, where the two under, there will be a time when there are two underdog factions, and there's one faction that is just totally dominating everything. And those two factions are going to have to make a decision. All right, the two underdogs are going to talk to each other, and they'll maybe be like, all right, maybe we should work together. We better help each other out. Because if we don't, we're going to just get face rolled by these guys, the dominating faction. And the politics and the intrigue that this brings, just having three factions, is going to be so incredibly unique that this game will stand out from so many others. In Warhammer Online, I think Warhammer Online should have gone the three faction way. I think it might have been far more successful. There's a ton of things wrong with that MMORPG.
Well, the thing with Warhammer too that you have to remember is it came out way, way, way earlier than it was supposed to come out. So I'm sure that there maybe not necessarily a third faction, just because, you know, it's sticking to the Warhammer lore, but I'm sure they could have fit a third faction. I'm not really, you know, big on Warhammer lore, but the point is, you know, the game came out a lot sooner than it should have. You know, it launched without two classes, it launched without four cities, it launched with so many issues and so many bugs. So the cool thing is, you know, I don't know how long Warhammer was actually in development for, but The Elder Scrolls has been in development for, what, 5 years now? So, and the thing is, you know, you look at it and you go, oh, well, Tor was in development for 5 years. Well, the thing is, sadly, I mean, if you would have told me this 2 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you, but sadly, you know, most of that development time went into writing the story and the voiceovers and the development of the facial features and stuff like that. You know, the cinematic feel of Tor, which was great, levels 1 through 50, but you know, there's got to be more endgame. And I really think The Elder Scrolls is really going to bring that, because they've spent 5 years developing the game, and I think 5 years is plenty of time to put in a solid amount of endgame when, you know, the people that are developing it spent all that time in, you know, Dayak and even some of them probably in Warhammer, you know, developing those RVR lakes. So, again, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I know you were talking about the siege weapons earlier, and I guess I would like to sort of rewind and talk about that again. If the siege weapons are anything like Dark Age of Camelot, that would be awesome, because the siege weapons in Warhammer Online, they were fun to use. They had cool game mechanics. When you are in the battering ram, in Warhammer Online, and you would have to sort of time the time you push down on the space bar to get the perfect sort of momentum for your push on that ram against the door. That was a unique mechanic, but I guess the problem was the weapons in Warhammer Online were extremely weak. Do you remember that? They did almost no damage besides the battering ram. on the door.
That's the thing. And that was only on the door, you know. You're sitting up top on the keep, and you're firing down a catapult or a bastila at somebody, and it's like, you know, it does damage, but it's not like it's doing it. And it doesn't, you don't want something to do an extreme amount of damage, because that's unfair to the players that are being hit by the siege weapons. But it has to do a decent amount of damage, because it's a freaking siege weapon. You know, especially when there's a limit, because I believe you could only have, like, two siege weapons going. The only one that actually did damage was the oil. And that, I mean, people had to be freaking underneath the oil for that to hit them anyways. So the two guys that are using siege weapons are kind of getting, I guess, gimped, because they're not really doing that much damage. So, yeah, I hope siege weapons actually do siege.
Yeah, for sure. And according to some content and articles and interviews that are out on the internet, the siege weapons will have total impact on the buildings they're attacking. The whole keep will be vulnerable. It won't be just the keep door. If you're firing your trebuchets or whatever siege weapons that are ranged at a wall, that wall can potentially go down and collapse. And that's very exciting, because that means there's not just one choke point that you and your team need to get through. And the defenders, if they only have one choke point, I mean, that's sort of a advantage for them.
Get a shield wall going, especially if there's collision detection in this game, which I'm assuming there's going to be. Was there any in Dayok? I'm not sure if there was.
You know what? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there was, or if there is right now. I don't know at launch if it was in, but I know
Warhammer definitely had
it. It's necessary.
Yeah, and it was so great in Warhammer, because as a tank, you actually feel like a tank. You know, you set up your shield, and you feel like freaking, you feel like a shield. You feel like a tank. You feel like a wall, and it's, you know, you get enough of those guys put together, and then a bunch of healers behind them. It's like, you're not going to get through this wall. Are you kidding me?
300.
So, yeah, that's what, it's funny. I wrote an article today revolving around keeps, and I actually used the Persians trying to get past the Spartans as an example in that article. Oh, see? Great minds think alike. But yeah, it's exactly what it is. And it's sort of ridiculous, because it's like, yeah, that's sweet for a movie, but when I'm sitting there trying to take over this keep, kind of want to have a fair chance at this. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that was when you are on the defending side, it's an incredible experience to have just a wall of shield, you know, sword and board tanks. It's such like a rush. But yeah, there needs to be an even playing field. Definitely. Well, I have expectations, high expectations for this game. I think they're doing the smart thing. They just announced it at like officially a couple weeks before E3 2012 this past summer. And it's, they've been saying it's coming in 2013, sometime in late 2013. So, you know, I do think that's a pretty smart move that they announced the game, you know, a little bit about a year early prior to the game's launch.
It was about a year and a half early, you know, almost 2 years early. I wouldn't say 2 years. Yeah, about a year and a half early, which is perfect for an MMO, you know, because that gives, you know, people time to get to know the game. That gives people time to find out stuff about the game and kind of build up that hype, and you kind of get that marketing going for the game. Unlike, you know, other games that we've known that launched their forms 3 years before the game came out, and you sit there in agony going, oh, yeah, sweet, and then 3 years goes by. I mean, because, you know, usually there's pushbacks, right? I mean, every MMO, I think it's almost safe to say that most MMOs, it'll get pushed back. So hopefully that doesn't happen to the Elder Scrolls, but you never know. So yeah, it kind of sucks. But yeah, no, I definitely think a year and a half is a good time. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I mean, great expectations, Elder Scrolls Online. I can't wait to dive into this and see more gameplay. There's if you look at the E3 coverage, there are some interviews that do have some little bumps of gameplay footage of the landscapes and such, and it looks good. The graphics are good. It's a pretty looking game. I did get the Elder Scrolls feel, you know, and a lot of people are complaining about that. A lot of people are like, oh, this sucks. They should just be making a new single player console Elder Scrolls related, you know, game. Instead, why are we getting this MMORPG where the graphics aren't as obviously as nice as the console games?
Right, but it's just not feasible, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Right.
Definitely.
And I know you know that, but it's just like, and most MMO players know that, but you can't get a game, especially a game that's supposed to be based around RVR, and you know, ZeniMax has said it before that they want their game to be able to support, they want their game to be the game that can support, you know, those 200 person battles without causing, you know, all that stress on your computer. You know, they want people to actually be able to enjoy those massive scale battles, unlike games, again, we keep going back to Tor, but I mean, it's just because of how perfect of an example it is. You know, Tor, its final end game for open world PvP was Ilum, and, you know, it couldn't support, you know, it could barely support 25 on 25. Okay. I mean, and when we were at, you know, some of the summits that BioWare had hosted for the fan sites, they kept telling us how there was going to be hundreds of players versus hundreds of players, and it's just like that wasn't feasible at all, you know. And unfortunately, you know, it didn't work for Tor. But you can't have Skyrim graphics for an MMO, let alone one that has to support, you know, 100 versus 100 or something like that.
Yeah, that'd definitely
be ridiculous.
Definitely, and of course, ZeniMax Online Studios wants to have as large as a consumer base as possible. And they can't expect everyone to have supercomputers that can run really good graphics. That's still, like you said, compatible with their game engine and their needs with, you know, how much it's going to demand performance-wise for those large-scale battles. So that's a great point. Something else that's unique, this game's coming out on Mac.
Nice.
That's really cool, I think. I don't understand why more MMOs, when they launch, I don't understand why they don't launch on Mac. I understand that it might be a little bit more expensive. Obviously, it would be more expensive, but I think it would be worthwhile trying to get it on as many systems as you could.
Well, I mean, it's like a whole different language, too, though. You know what I'm saying? Programming-wise, and you know, they got to spend some of their development time, I guess. Either they have to sacrifice developers to, not really developers, but they have to sacrifice the programmers to program it in Mac, or pay people to actually just program it for them in Mac. So yeah, you're right, it is expensive, but you also make a great point too. Why not get it out to more people?
I think that's pretty smart of ZeniMax Online Studios going forward with that. So Tim, let's jump into a couple sort of news related items. First of all, a couple weeks ago, ZeniMax Online Studios granted their community, everyone, some unique wallpapers, awesome wallpapers. They're based on the concept art that the artists have drawn in preparation for the development of this game. And some of these landscapes are just astounding. You could see some locations that are pretty recognizable. You know, one of the pictures definitely looks like that takes place in Skyrim. It was confirmed that these are locations from the console single-player games. But they did release those wallpapers because they got over 100,000 likes on Facebook. I thought that was pretty cool. Tim, looking at these pictures, I know you've seen a couple. What do you think, man? Do you have any impressions? Do you think it's going to look pretty... Do you sort of see the style? I guess that's what I should ask. From seeing that gameplay footage at E3... And then looking at this concept art, do you see sort of a comparison?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that really excites me about just seeing all those different locations from these wallpapers is, you know, I haven't played all the Elder Scrolls games, okay? So, you know, I missed out on, like, Morrowind and stuff like that. So it'd be sweet to be able to go and experience that and the Elder Scrolls Online. And other places that even haven't even been open yet to the players, you know, places like, I don't even know, has Elsewhere been open to, I don't think it's been playable anywhere. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I really don't think that you've been able to go there yet. So I'm just excited to be able to actually explore more of Tamriel, you know, over you know, just a single, I guess, what would you call that, provenance. So that's what really excites me. You know, we get to go back to Skyrim, we get to go back to Cyrodiil, you know, so on and so forth, Black Marsh, you know, that's some pretty sweet stuff. So
yeah, you're definitely going to be able to get some nostalgia in a way.
Oh yeah.
When you return to those landmark locations. I'm very excited. The concept art looks great. It's very cool. I can't really wait to see more gameplay footage. It's gonna be pretty cool. The Imperial City, I remember that was just awesome sight to see in Oblivion. And apparently the tower still is in existence.
The White Gold Tower.
In this time period, which I'm pretty relieved of. I hope we could go up there and just look over the landscape. That would be phenomenal. In other news, Elder Scrolls Online got nominated for the One to Watch. It was in that category for the Golden Joystick Awards. You can go and cast your vote on their website. Just Google Golden Joystick Awards, and it will pop up. Just click on that category, and you can vote for Elder Scrolls Online. It's competing with some other highly anticipated games, including Halo 4, GTA, the new Star Wars 1313, etc. So they do have some competition if you're really looking forward to ESO. Help them out a little bit. And I think to conclude, we'll talk about, apparently there's false beta invitations that are being sent out. I guess it's pretty simple. If you get an email that's inviting you to the Elder Scrolls Online beta, reject it.
Send it to your trash.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Don't accept that. It's phishing. People might be able to, if you do accept that, you can probably become vulnerable to maybe identity theft or something like that, which isn't good news. ZeniMax Online posted on their Facebook page for Elder Scrolls Online that this is definitely a sort of occurrence that's happening right now. So to stay cautious, this is what they said. Hi, everyone. We're still seeing some of those pesky fake ESO beta signups links floating around. As a friendly reminder, these are not legitimate or associated with ZeniMax Online Studios. Your privacy and security are very important to us. Please practice caution and do not click on any links claiming to be for an ESO beta sign up right now. Our official ESO beta signups will open in 2013, and when they do, we'll share the info you need on our official Twitter website and here on our Facebook page. Thanks, folks, and please help spread the word. So there we are. We spread the word. Tim, I guess I have nothing else to really talk about. Maybe I'll throw in there, if anyone is listening and you're total lore hound, like you know lore in Elder Scrolls like crazy, I would encourage you to apply and join our staff if you're interested in joining a fan site. We are, yes, Tim and I are Elder Scrolls fans, but I don't think we are the sharpest lore-wise in the shed. So if you are interested in becoming part of a fan site community, becoming part of Trollscroll as a staff member, if you know your lore in Elder Scrolls, that looks good on an application, and Tim and I would be most pleased to perhaps work with you. Other than that, a couple days ago was September 11th. Sad day in our history. Our thoughts go out to all those who died back in 2001, and then it seems there was also a tragedy that struck overseas in Libya and Egypt, and our thoughts and prayers go out to those victims as well. So just remember your veterans and how fortunate we are to have them fighting for us overseas. Tim, thanks for coming on the show, man. This is our episode zero, introduction episode. It was very, very destable. There was no structure, but like I said, this is just our introduction to who we are and what we're all about. So I hope you have a better taste of, you know, us.
Yeah, and what you're getting yourself.
Yeah, definitely. YOLO.
I will never come back if you say that.
All right, guys and girls, be good, be safe, take care, and check out trollscroll.com. See ya.
See ya.
I used to be an E like E like E.
And I took an adventure.
Arrow in your knee.
What's up, guys and gals? A long time no see, right? Just kidding. Although, I did want to give a quick shout out to Ramses B. He is the musician, very talented, by the way, who composed Skyrim in the Need. That is the song you heard in our intro and outro to our podcast. This guy's so awesome that you can go to his website, his webpage, I should say. It's at soundcloud.com/RamsesB. And download this song for free. So check that out. Guys, I will see you next week. Be good.